Good afternoon. I'll call to order the Conference Committee on Senate File 1997. This is our first meeting on April 23rd, 2007. We'll start with introductions for those of us who may not be familiar with all the members here. I'm Senator Don Betzold, and as I ask the senators to introduce themselves, I'll ask them to identify not only who they are, the district, but also the House members that they represent. That sometimes helps the House members figure out who we are. I've got Senate District 51, which includes parts of Fridley, Moundsview, Spring Lake Park, and Blaine, and I have Representatives Scott Kranz and Tom Tilbury. I'll have the senators introduce themselves and we'll introduce staff. Senator Quibley?
I'm Gary Quibley from Senate District 20.
Gary Quibley from Senate District 20. Senator Betzold listed his communities. We don't want to be here long enough to hear all of mine. I have 52 incorporated communities and 7 that are not. I represent all of 7 counties, starting with Renville on the east side, goes up through Swift and Chippewa, and coming down the South Dakota border is Big Stone Lake, Paul, Yellow Medicine, Lincoln. Representative Aaron Peterson and Representative Lyle Coonan are the House members of Senate District 20.
I'm Senator Rick Olson. I represent District 17. And in 17A, my House member is Rob Eastland, and 17B, Jeremy Kalin. 17 is all of Chisago County, most of Isanti, and part of St. Francis. So when we heard the ambassador talking about Lindstrom and Chisago City, that's right in my district. So it's a pretty exciting day for me.
I'm Dan Larson from District 63. And my House members are Representative Paul Thiessen and Representative Linda Slocum. And I live in Bloomington, and I represent all of Richfield and portions of Bloomington and southwest Minneapolis.
And if we could have our staff introduce themselves here.
I'm Kevin Lundeen, the fiscal analyst for the committee.
And I'm Tom Bodern, the counsel for the State Government Budget Division.
I'm Kathleen Lonergan, the committee administrator for State Government Budget.
I'm Carolyn LeViolette, the legislative assistant for Senator Don Betzold.
Do we have any other Senate staff researchers from majority-minority research here? Just look around. Okay, I don't see them. Okay, Representative Kahn, it's a pleasure to be seeing you again.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm Senator Phyllis Kahn, and my district is mainly on the east side of Minneapolis, with a little bit of the south side, and my senator is Senator Pogomila. And for House members, we don't quite have all of our House committee here yet, but House members, let's do the same thing. Tell the senators who your senator is, and then call it, you'll introduce yourself with your special status, too. So,
I'm Representative...
You go last.
I thought...
We're going this way.
I'm Representative Brian Winkler. I represent St. Louis Park and Golden Valley, or parts of those. And my senator is Ron Latz.
I'm Representative Dean Erdahl. I represent all the 2 townships of Meeker County, 6 townships of Western Wright County, and my senator is Steve Dell.
I'm Representative Carla Bigham, and I am like an ex facto member, not a voting member of the conference committee here. And I represent 57A. And my senator is Senator Katie Seaton.
I'm Helen Roberts. I'm from the House Fiscal Staff.
And, Mr. Chair, I'm Mark Shepard from House Research, and also from House Research, Matt Gehring is going to be handling the election issues that are in the House bill.
I'm Brian Shackleton, the committee administrator.
I'm Kristen Niederhofer, committee legislative assistant.
Bob Schiffman, House Republican Research.
And we've been joined. Senator Rest, if you could describe your district and the House members who are in your district.
Anne Rest, I'm from New Hope, and my House members are Lenny Carlson and Sandra Peterson.
My intention, we don't have the side-by-sides ready. We don't know, they'll be ready sometime this week, and we will have, when we have them, we can start going into more detail. Since this is our first meeting, I figured we do have a spreadsheet. It's a, how many pages? It looks like 21-page spreadsheet, and we've asked the fiscal analysts to go through there. I think there's a difference I think the Senate certainly heard most of the issues that I think were incorporated within the House bill, so I think we're generally familiar with many of them. But as we're going through them, if there's any questions or from either side about a particular one, by all means, raise a question. We're not going to really debate it right now, but if you have any issues you want to have clarified as we're going through it, please do so. I think as you many probably know, what there are just some differences in how the House and the Senate approached the expenditures. One of the big differences was on the salary supplement. The Senate had a much higher number at 3.25%, and the House had a lower number at 2%. That's not an issue that is going to be ultimately decided by one conference committee, since it crosses jurisdictions in all the conference committees. You can't have one conference committee saying we're going to have no salary supplement, one saying we'll do 1%, one saying we're doing 2%. But the leadership is going to have to figure out what that number is and get back to us and tell us what it is. And until we do, we're going to not be able to make some decisions on this. But for the time being, we can at least appreciate what is in the two bills and go from there. Are there any questions or anything that anyone wants to bring to our attention at this time before we get started?
Well,
Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to point out another sheet that we have. We have everything that's in the House bill is on here, but you have the Senate did something that we didn't do, which was to put one-time spending in a different bill. So I'd like to maybe, I don't know if that should be passed out, but rather than confuse us with multiple different spreadsheets, we do have the one-time spending that's listed in Senate File 2190, and that would be listed on the spreadsheet. As
okay, and this was the House one-time spending? I'm sorry, I don't know what
the House had. Right. The House did things differently.
Right.
The House has all of our one-time spending in the same bill. In Senate File 1997.
Right.
The Senate has a separate bill of
that's correct.
Spending, so
okay.
That
if,
information.
I guess if there is a separate sheet that shows where the Senate has the one-time spending, we'll go through it. We'll pick it up at some point. I think just look at the ongoing before we get to the one-time spending, because a decision has not been made as to how it's going to be handled. Obviously, this if there's one-time spending that affects this conference committee, this conference committee is going to have to make that decision, I think. Where it ultimately lines up, I don't know. The leadership's still working on that point. So.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, yeah. We have another House member who should introduce himself.
Okay.
Describe your district and who your senator is.
I'm representing Solbrook. My district is the southern part of Senator Saxog's district. And Senator Saxog's district stretches from the middle of Mille Lacs Lake up to and including the northwest angle, 300 miles long. So mine is about 150 miles, I guess. All of Aiken and parts of Itasca County, including Grand Rapids.
And Representative Solberg,
God's country.
Yes. Before you got here, I promised everybody we'd be done by 10 o'clock tonight. So, no, we'll be done.
If you're going to be here until 10 o'clock, I'm not going to be here.
Look at this old lady. I've already paid.
Then you can stay here. That's okay. That's your money.
If I paid, I want to take advantage of it. No, we'll be out in time for the range party. Representative Solberg, thank you. Did you want to pass that out now, Representative Conner? How did you want to handle that, the one-time sheet? Maybe we could just have that distributed so we could
see. Why don't we have it distributed?
Okay.
Because the House one is already in there.
Yes, okay. We'll have that distributed at least so we've got the papers in front of us. While it's being distributed, maybe I can just turn it over now to the fiscal analysts from the House and the Senate. And whatever makes sense for the two of you to work your way through it, please do, and go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Ms. Roberts and I will just kind of go through and we'll kind of hand off to each other as we go through. I think just kind of starting out, I know you did talk a little bit about the difference in the compensation, and I thought I would just let members know kind of what the dollar difference and what that means to the particular bill. In the Senate, we did the 3.25% compensation, and the amount of general fund to get to 3.25% was about $20.3 million, And as you know, the governor did the 2% compensation, and the cost of that was about $12.4 million. So just kind of putting that into context, just so you're aware when a decision's made, you know, that will impact the bottom line. I think then going on, unless Ms. Roberts, if you have any other comments you'd like to add, we can just start with the Senate budget. And,
Okay,
well, taking a look at the Senate, and as we talked about, the one-time items that the Senate did are not included here on the spreadsheet. And so the ongoing expenditure basically was $2 million in ongoing spending.
It'll help if you can identify the not line number on the left side of the page too,
okay,
when you're going through this stuff.
Okay, so looking at line 8 is an operating increase. The Senate provided a $4 million operating increase. And then we also have the compensation adjustment in there at 3.25%. So that was a total of $5.5 million. The House included a total for the Senate of $2.5 million. So there was a difference of $3 million that the Senate was over the House. I think I'll let Ms. Roberts go through the House budget.
For the recommendations for the House budget, the Senate included the compensation adjustment of 3.25% per year. That is comes to $2.1 million for an increase over the base. The House, in its recommendations for its own funding, included $1 million in one-time funding for technology, and an additional $5.75 million for an operating increase. And that is a total difference between the two positions of $4,698,000.
And Madam Chair, if I just may note, obviously the Senate was moving ahead first with this particular bill, and we didn't know what number to put in for the House operating budget or anything, so we didn't. It wasn't an intentional slight for the House. We just didn't know what to do. Obviously, you had the benefit of our numbers after it had passed, so we figured that rather than have somebody from the House come over to a Senate committee to make a pitch, we felt we'll meet you at conference and we'll work on it then. But we just didn't know where to start, so we didn't have anything there. So it wasn't intended to say the House doesn't need anything. We recognize you do. So, go ahead.
I'm going to continue on with the LCC, and I should note there are several changes for the Legislative Coordinating Commission and the offices within that area. And so we'll have to look at a couple different line items, but just to bring members really quickly on page 3 of the spreadsheet, if you look at line 94, I believe it is, you can see that the overall difference in position for the LCC general fund is about a $1.8 million difference when you take into all the different change items that I'm going to go through pretty quickly here. Going back to the first page of the spreadsheet, on line 36, the Senate is including $250,000 for the additional audits. That is, I believe, the State Fair and another metro agency. I should note that the House does provide funding for this, but did it in the way that was originally requested by the legislative auditor, by allowing them to keep the fees that they charge for those audits. So we'll see that at the bottom of the spreadsheet reflected as a revenue item.
If I could just point out, we looked at it the same way, and we just felt that rather than having the auditor collect the money that for their fee, it was basically auditing for a fee. We just said, well, let's just take the money out of the general fund and do it there. It's still the same cost. We just thought that it would be cleaner for the state audit, for the legislative auditor standpoint, doing that way. But thank you.
And to continue on, I'm going to go through some operating increases for the individual offices. I should note that on the House side, they're broken out. On the Senate side, they're going to show up in a lump sum near the end of the LCC appropriations, and I think that was a difference in sort of the amount of money that was made available to the House and Senate and how the decisions were made. But I don't think that the differences are that as big as they might certainly appear as we go through this. First of all, on line 37, the House has $525,000 for the operating increase for the legislative auditor. On line 41, $203,000 for the legislative reference library operating increase. Moving on to page 2, on line 45, you'll see the first of the one-time items here that is reflected in the House position on Senate File 1997, $509,000 to complete the extend system. I believe the Senate has $500,000 in the separate bill, Senate File 2190. And again, you'll see an operating increase on the House side of $454,000 for the revisor's office. Really quickly, there are several smaller operating increases for the LCC on line 50, $143,000 related to various dues that the LCC pays on behalf, not only for the LCC, but the House and the Senate, and indirect cost increases. On line 54, $480,000 for the requested increase for the statewide carriage contract increase for legislative television. The Pension Commission has a $1,000 increase. Apparently that's what they need or requested on the House side. And again, at this point, there aren't anything that's reflecting on the Senate side, but we'll get to those in a minute. On line 62 of the spreadsheet, the House has $113,000 for the dues and operating increase for the Great Lakes Commission. And then on line 66, $98,000 for the Mississippi River Parkway Commission increase. And finally, I should note this is a non-general fund item on line 76, a $100,000 increase in the appropriation from the Healthcare Access Fund. This is related to some language that's actually being carried, I believe, in the Health and Human Services bill. It's a bill of Representative Huntley's to expand and kind of give some new duties to this Healthcare Access Oversight Commission. Moving to the bottom of the page, again on the House side, you'll see that the House has allocated some increases for specific requests from the LCC, $273,000 for health and dental insurance increases, $858,000 for the NCSL compensation study, the merit increase portion, and $106,000 for various range adjustments that were recommended in that compensation study. Finally, moving on to page 3, the last of the House recommended increases for the LCC on line 85, $38,000 in one-time funding for the Commission on Ethnic Heritage. On line 86, $100,000 for the Commission to End Poverty. This is funding that is in addition to funding that was provided in the supplemental bill in the last session. And then $350,000 in one-time funding for the Commission on Terrorism and Disaster Planning. And then I believe the remaining changes are Senate changes.
Yeah, the next on line 88 is a State Budget Trends Study Commission. This was a bill of Senator Cohen's that was added into the operating budget. Next is the operating increase. This is $735,000, where the Senate just kind of put it together in a lump number rather than spreading it out through the various offices. And then the compensation adjustment at 3.25%. And so if you go down and like Ms. Roberts said, the difference between the House and Senate is about $1.8 million in general fund dollars. And then the total difference for the legislature is about $3.6 million. Moving down then to line 112, we get to the governor's office. And the only difference there is the difference in the compensation adjustment. Next, on line 124 is the state auditor. And if you turn over to page 4, you can see the change items there. They are the overall funding to the state auditor is an equal amount. There's the audit staff retention. This was a request of the auditor for some additional dollars to retain staff. And then the job Z audits, there was some language put into law in 2005 that the auditor should be doing some audits of these job Zs, but there was no funding provided, so this was a request from the auditor for the funding. And then we have the difference in the compensation adjustment. And so you see it, the bottom line is we're both providing about $1.9 million to the state auditor. And when we get to the back of the spreadsheet, there are a couple items that will impact the revenue and kind of offset some of the spending in the area of the audits and I believe in the House with the job Z.
Mr. Chairman,
oh,
if I can...
Representative Kahn.
final House member is here, and if he could introduce himself and tell us who his senator is, we'll be pleased to complete our roster.
Yes, I'm Bill Hilty. My senator is Senator Tony Laurie from District 8, and I am not late because I was dawdling. I happen to be serving also on the Energy and Environment Finance Committee, which just adjourned in the Senate, or in the Capitol building a few minutes ago.
Thank you. Welcome. Okay, please proceed.
I'll continue on with the Attorney General on page 4. Actually, if you move on to page 5 of the spreadsheet, you'll see the recommended changes in funding over the base. The Senate on line 186 funds, again, $2.9 million, just under $3 million for the compensation adjustment. And the House on line 187 provides $3.49 million for the additional attorney positions that were requested by the Attorney General. And that's a difference of $537,000 between the two positions. Moving on to the Secretary of State's office, there are several change items. I should note, first of all, on line 207 that both the House and Senate, I believe, have identical positions on the expenditures of the HABA funds. Moving down to line 211 for the absentee ballot voting, the House has $123,000 in Senate Bill 1997. I believe that the Senate does have some money for this in the one-time bill that's separate at this point. Moving on to line 212, the Senate provided $200,000 for the Safe at Home program implementation, and the House provided $886,000. I'll just continue on because I believe most of these are House positions. There is a small adjustment on line 213 in the Senate position for reflecting a revenue loss that's shown later in the spreadsheet. And then finally, there are four additional increases in the House position, $50,000 in one-time funding for the Blue Book funding increase requested by the Secretary, $50,000 in one-time money for the Instant Runoff Voting Task Force, $250,000 for the Kids Voting Minnesota initiative, and then the House also included for the Secretary of State $263,000 for the compensation adjustment to provide some additional funding. And that brings us to the total difference on line, page 6, line 223 for the general fund of $996,000, the House additional spending over the Senate. And then I should also note, finally, on the Secretary of State, you'll see two statutory appropriation change items that are identical in the House and Senate, $880,000 from standardizing online and paper filing fees, and then $2.2 million for the temporary technology surcharges.
Okay. The next item on 231 is the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. The Senate did not provide the operational increase that the governor had requested, and the House did provide it. And then the other difference is with the compensation adjustment. So there's the difference of $18,000 that the Senate is under. Next is the investment board. We're identical there. It's just the base funding. Moving down to line 258 is administrative hearings. The first is the workers' compensation area. Both the House and Senate have provided the one additional workers' comp judge that was requested. The House has requested two additional workers' comp judges to be placed in Duluth. And so that brings the difference of $532,000 that the House is over the Senate. Next, we move down on line 268, the Municipal Boundary Adjustment Unit, and turning over to page 7. The House did provide the rent adjustment that was requested in the governor's budget, and then the other difference is with the compensation. So there's a total difference of general fund of $18,000, and in the workers' comp fund, $532,000. The next item is the Office of Enterprise Technology on line 283. The first item, the IT service consolidation that the governor had in his budget, neither the House nor the Senate funded that. The next item on line 296 is the Minnesota electronic licensing. The Senate did not provide any funding for that. The House provided $2 million. And then moving down to the enterprise IT security, both the House and Senate provided funding for that. The Senate provided a total of $7.8 million in the 8 and 9 biennium, and the House provided one time of $10 million. And then there's the compensation adjustment. Moving down on line 307, enterprise planning and management, and then continuing over to page 8, there is the small agency initiative that was in the governor's budget, and the House fully funded that. The Senate does have some money in the separate one-time bill, just a small amount of about $90,000. The next item is the enterprise information management. The House did provide some funding for that, and the Senate did not provide any funding. Next is the compensation adjustment. And then on line 314, there's the preservation of state documents, that the House did provide $68,000 in funding. The Senate did hear this bill, and we did include this language in the Senate bill, but we did not provide any funding for it. And then on line 315, there's the grants to the county integrated financial systems. The House did provide $200,000 in funding. The Senate did provide some funding. This was an amendment that was on the Senate floor. And rather than providing new funding, it basically earmarked $500,000 of the base funding in fiscal year 8 for this particular item.
I will continue on with the Department of Administration still on page 8 of the spreadsheet. The first difference on line 331 is the compensation adjustment. And again, you can see that the Senate has funded it at a higher level, and that's a $179,000 difference. And I should note just above that there is some funding for the capital restoration design that is not showing up on the spreadsheet, but I believe is carried in the separate one-time bill and would be appropriated to this office. Moving down to line 337, there is a difference, again, a change item for the energy conservation recommissioning program that was requested by the governor. The House did fund this at $500,000. So that's a $500,000 difference. For real estate management, there are three change items that are increases over the base. The first two, the House funded $2.5 million for the real property enterprise system, and then $885,000 in one-time funds for relocation of the Department of Public Safety Emergency Operations Center. And then finally, on line 346, again, you'll see the compensation adjustment with the differences always in the percentages. So that's a difference of $3.3 million for that budget activity. Moving on to page 9 of the spreadsheet and continuing in state and community services, on line 358, under information policy analysis, the House provides funding of $89,000 for the DNA study group. I believe the current position is to accept the governor's language and repeal this work group and study. Moving down to line 375, this is the census preparation and promotion, and both the House and Senate have funded this at the governor's request of $300,000. On line 380, for the Land Management Information Center, both the House and Senate have provided additional funding over the base for LIMIC. The Senate position is a $1.1 million increase over the base. The House position is $1,684,000. And I believe that's all of the differences within state and community services, the first program in the department. Moving on to administrative management services, at the very bottom of page 9, you'll see, again, a $35,000 difference with the Senate providing the additional funding and the compensation adjustment. Continuing on line 10, or on page 10, on line 406, you'll see the first part of the Small Agency Resource Team, or SMART. The House did fund this at $289,000. I'll just note that's actually split between two budget activities, so some additional funding will show up a little later. And then on line 407, the compensation adjustment. Moving down to line 417 and 418 under the Developmental Disabilities Council, the House has provided funding for two initiatives, $500,000 in ongoing funding for the Self-Advocacy Network Project, and then an additional $75,000 in one-time funding for the promotion of document imaging. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Lundin, but I believe that there is some language related to this in the Senate bill. Moving on to line 424, here's the second piece of the Small Agency Resource Team with an admin, $211,000. And then there is, again, on line 425, the compensation adjustment under human resources. And finally, moving down to materials management, there are several change items that begin on line 431 of the spreadsheet for the House position. $125,000 in one-time funding for the Office of Grants Management. $180,000, this is ongoing funding for the Veterans Procurement Preference. This was House File 137. I believe that this bill has passed the Senate in slightly different form than what is included in the House language. $285,000 is provided for the Governor's request for the PT Contract Savings Negotiation Unit. This is one-time funding, so it doesn't fully fund what the Governor requested. And then on line 434, the Targeted Group Disparity Study, the House has $425,000 in one-time funding and some language requiring the Department to cooperate with local governments and other local units of government that are undergoing similar studies, and I believe that the Senate has some funding for this in Senate File 2190 at a higher level. And finally, $50,000 in one-time funding provided for the state contracts website, House File 376. This was Representative Paulson's bill. And that completes, I believe, the differences in that program. I'll continue on with the fiscal agent because this is, again, House differences. We have two change items that are funded on the House side, $100,000 in one-time funding for the Sustainable Growth Working Group, and then $500,000 for the Disabled Veterans Rest Camp. And, again, there's funding for this, I believe, $1 million in the Senate position in Senate File 2190.
And I can pick up with public broadcasting on line 465. The Senate made a change to the base. We just redistributed some of the dollars from the matching grants down to the equipment grants. This was a request of the public television to make this change. So that's what you see for the total equipment grants. Then are brought down to $200,000, and that additional $198,000 is then moved down to the matching grants. And both the House and the Senate put an increase in for the matching grants. The Senate increased it by $500,000 and the House by $1.3 million. There are some items in other bills dealing with the digital conversion for public broadcasting. The Senate dollars are in Senate File 2190, and in the House they're contained in the capital investment bill. Moving down to public radio and taking a look at AMPRS, the House did increase the community service grants by $126,000. And then with the equipment grants, there was an increase in both the Senate and the House. The Senate increased it by $200,000 and the House increased it by $500,000. Moving down to Minnesota Public Radio, the Senate did not provide any increase in the equipment grants. The House did provide an additional $570,000. And here, too, there are dollars in other bills dealing with the digital conversion. The House has it in the capital investment bill, and the Senate has it in the one-time bill. And then there was no change with Twin Cities regional cable channel. And so the total difference in the public broadcasting area is about $1.8 million. And then taking a look at the Department of Administration as a whole, the difference between the House and the Senate is the House has an additional about $8.8 million. Then we move down to the CAP board. The first change item is a comprehensive plan update. The House did provide the $65,000 that was requested by the CAP board, and the Senate has this in the one-time bill. The House did provide some additional dollars for operations increase, an additional $118,000 that the Senate didn't. And then the governor had an increase in the operating budget contained for the CAP board, and both the Senate and the House picked up that amount of $62,000 for the biennium. And then we've got the difference showing up in the compensation adjustment. So the difference between the two is the House has an additional $174,000. And then there is one statutory appropriation change. The governor did include language in his bill for the CAP board to put into statute. We've done this as a rider in the last few years, but they came in and wanted to actually have this put into statute, and it's some dollars that they collect for doing some reviews of projects and stuff that they charge out to other agencies. And that will bring in a total of $8,000 a year. The Senate put this into statute with no sunset, but I understand the House did have a sunset, so it would only be good for this biennium.
That's correct. Okay. The House language limits that to just fiscal year 2008-2009. I can move on with Department of Finance. At the very bottom, page 12, you'll see the beginning of the change items for that department. On line 536, the House has provided $315,000 in one-time funding for the bankruptcy council related to the Northwest Airlines case. This was the governor's request. I should note that I know that it's been announced in the media that there is a settlement or they're moving towards a settlement on this case, but I did communicate with Department of Finance, and at this point they're a little concerned until the final settlement is approved by the court about what should happen with this money. So, and then on line 537, you'll see the difference in the compensation adjustment. And the net change between or difference between those two change items between the House and Senate is $27,000. This is moving on to page 13 of the spreadsheet. The final differences within the Department of Finance on line 547, the House provided $7 million in one-time funding for the MAPS risk mitigation and replacement plan. And then and on line 548, you'll see again the compensation adjustment, bringing the total differences between the two positions for Department of Finance to $6.8 million. I'll just continue with Department of Employee Relations. At the bottom of the spreadsheet on line 579, you'll see that both the House and Senate are counting $500,000 in savings from the abolishing the Department of Employee Relations and merging its functions into other agencies. On line 580, there is some funding in the House position, $389,000 for the personal sick leave benefits bill. This is House File 219, and the language is included in the House version of Senate File 1997. And finally, on page 581, on line 581, the compensation adjustment. Moving on to the next page. Line 587, the House has $350,000 for the electronic health records pilot, and there is funding being carried $200,000 in the Senate one-time bill for this. The House also has $500,000 in for the governor's request for the Center for Healthcare Purchasing Improvement, and I believe this will be moving to the Department of Health, I believe, when after the merger is complete. And then finally, again, the compensation adjustment on line 589. The remainder of the changes within the Department of Employee Relations are all the differences in the compensation adjustments. So the total difference between the House and Senate on the Department of Employee Relations for the general fund is $1,062,000. And finally, I should note on line 618, showing up on the House side is a statutory appropriation of fees related to the pay equity compliance certificate fee, and that is language that is being carried in the House version of Senate File 1997.
Next, we can move on to the Department of Revenue, which starts down on line 622. And if we turn over to the next page, page 15, I'll try to highlight some of the changes. A lot of the changes are, if you look at 628, we're talking about the compensation, and it's broken out by the various funds, healthcare access fund and so forth. If you move down to line 666, there's a change item there. The House has $150,000 in for the taxpayer assistance grants. The Senate does have some money for this, but it's contained within the Senate tax bill. And then if we continue down the page, there's some more compensation adjustments for some of the general fund and other funds. If we go to page 16 on line 681, the change item there on line 684 is for the integrated tax system. The governor had a request for $16 million for the biennium, and the Senate didn't provide any dollars, but the House did provide $16 million in fiscal year 08. And then as we move down the spreadsheet, there's some other of the compensation adjustments. On line 700, the county recorder and register fees, dealing with the property tax system there, neither the House nor Senate provided any dollars for that. And then if you look down on line 704, this is where the governor's tax compliance initiative and the additional tax compliance initiatives for the House and the Senate are contained. And as you can see, this is just part of it. I should point out there's two different programs that this shows up in. And so the additional, this is actually the appropriation. And I should just point out when we get later in the spreadsheet, the governor is bringing in new revenue of about $51.2 million. The Senate is bringing in $71.2 million, and the House is bringing in $102.4 million. The House is appropriating over the Senate for tax compliance of about $5.3 million or so. And so the total House revenue over the Senate is about $31.2 million. So I should point out I think the House went with the same ratio that the governor was using for tax compliance, which was at a 5-to-1 payback. With the additional money that the Senate did, we used a 4-to-1 payback. And then if we continue down on line 723, you'll see the rest of the tax compliance initiative that I pointed out was appropriated between the two different programs in the Department of Revenue. And if we go down to the bottom, then we look on line 733. You can see the difference in appropriations is slightly more than $18 million the House appropriated over the Senate. And then the differences in the other funds are basically due to the compensation increase.
So, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Rust,
Mr. Lundin, the major difference, or most of that $18 million, came where?
Ms. Lundin.
There's a difference that the House funded the integrated tax system at $16 million, and then they put more money in for compliance, you know, paying for the auditors and stuff that we did than we did.
Okay.
The next item on line 914 is the Gambling Control Board, and the only difference there is due to the compensation level used. Next is the Minnesota Racing Commission, and both the Senate and the House are identical on that. And I should point out that the Gambling Control Board and the Racing Commission are special revenue, not general fund dollars. The next item is the Amateur Sports Commission. The Amateur Sports Commission did request an operations increase, and both the Senate and the House put in some additional dollars for that. The Senate put in 175, the House put in 188. The Amateur Sports Commission also did ask for one more FTE to deal with event development, and the House did fund that at a total of $134,000.
There is language dealing with the lease proceeds offset. This is for the sports mall that I think has been talked about in past years. And once they start actually getting some of those lease proceeds, the agreements and stuff are not signed at this point, so we weren't able to book anything. But some of those dollars would be offsetting the general fund appropriation, I think up to $300,000. And then we've got the compensation adjustment in there at the different levels for the House and Senate. And so there's a total difference of $138,000 for the amateur sports.
Moving on to the councils, still on page 18. For the first three councils, the Black Minnesotans Council, the Chicano Latino Affairs Council, and then on the next page, the Asian Pacific Minnesotans Council, the differences here in each case are the net difference between the House funding the operations increase requested by the governor and the House and Senate both funding the compensation adjustments, but at different levels. So you can see those in the difference column. Moving on to the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council, again, there is the difference in the compensation adjustment, but the House also has included two initiatives beginning on line 989, the Indian burial site acquisition for $80,000, which I believe the Senate is carrying in their separate bill, and then on line 990, $100,000 in one-time funding for the Indigenous Language Pilot Project. For the contingent accounts, which are funded traditionally in this bill, the House and Senate have an identical appropriation of $500,000 from the general fund and then additional appropriations from state government special revenue and workers' comp. Again, the House and Senate are identical on the tort claims appropriation. The Minnesota State Retirement System appropriations for the legislators' retirement program and constitutional officers' retirement. On line 1030, you can see the funding that's provided for the Minneapolis Employees Retirement Fund. And then on line 1044, the House has a change item, some one-time funding, $4.1 million, funded for the pre-1969 teachers. This would be, I probably should let Representative Kahn explain it, a gratuity payment to those teachers. And then just completing the spreadsheet again, you'll see there's no difference between the House and Senate on the first class cities teacher state aid. The lottery is included on the spreadsheet to show what the cap is on the statutory lottery operating expenses. This is not an appropriation to them, but a cap that we state in law. And then that brings us down to the bottom of the spreadsheet and the reconciliation. You can see, I'm just going to focus on the general fund, but if there are questions, please let us know. On line 1062, the difference between the House and Senate, just looking only at the appropriations in Senate Bill 1997, is $52.4 million. The House has spent is over the Senate on the direct general fund appropriations. Moving on to the last page, beginning on line 1103, here are the changes in the direct general fund revenues, and the overall difference here is $31.7 million, and the majority of that difference, $31.2 million, is due to the difference in the House taking on additional tax compliance above the governor and the Senate. Real quickly, on line 1103, the House and Senate are identical in picking up the offsets for the state auditor as additional funding is provided to that office. They also have additional recoveries. The House does have additional funding of $794,000 in an increase to the LGA billing. This is language that's currently in statute. I believe it was put in about 1991, and the funding amount was, or the offset was never, has not been changed since that time. And the House bill does adjust that upward. On line 1105, you'll again see the legislative auditor initiative for retaining audit fees. This is just, again, a difference in the approach between the House and Senate. We're both providing funding to the auditor for that initiative. The next two lines show the differences in the tax compliance initiative, the Senate and the House both doing the governor's full initiative, and then on line 1107, I'm sorry, you should have changed it to say Legislative Tax Compliance Initiative. You'll see the difference between the House and Senate on their increase over the governor on that item. And then the next two items are related to some Secretary of State's bills that are small revenue changes. So again, the difference in general fund revenue between the House and Senate is $31.7 million.
I can continue. And then there are a few non-general fund revenues, the first of which is the pay equity compliance certificate fee that Ms. Roberts talked about when we were going through the Doer budget. And this is a separate bill that's traveling in the Senate. I believe it's going to be heard in Senate Finance tomorrow morning. The next two items are identical between the Senate and House. This was a temporary technology surcharge that the Secretary of State asked for that would only be in effect for the 8 and 9 biennium. And then the other is the standardization of the online and paper filing fees for the Secretary of State. And these dollars do go to the Secretary of State to spend from a special revenue account. The next is the CAP Board project review that I talked about when we went through the CAP Board. And then the Senate does include another fee increase. This does not affect the state, but it is a $10 increase to counties, and so it generates about $350,000 that will be going out to the counties. And so if we just move down to the general fund reconciliation, taking a look at Senate File 1997 in both the House and the Senate, there is a difference of about $55 million if you look at all appropriations, and then the total difference in net general fund spending, this would be the appropriations less the revenues, it's about $23 million dollar difference.
Okay. Thank you very much. I've got a question or two, and then I'll open it up certainly for questions by the members. On line 264, the House is, and I don't need to discuss the merits of it right now, but this is an issue we did not hear, and this is new to me. The House is proposing two additional workers' comp judges in Duluth. Could we indicate, where did this come from? I'm not familiar with this issue.
Mr. Chairman, it came from some of our legislators from that region who just felt that the cases were not being covered as well when they all have to be covered in St. Paul.
Okay. Was this a bill or a floor amendment or a committee member or something? I don't know.
I think it was a suggestion from a House member.
I see. Thank you. Okay. We'll talk about it later. I just wanted to get a little idea of the background. On line 579, I just wanted a clarification here on the Doer merger. In the Senate, we had originally tried to roll the date back to January of 08, and then subsequently we moved it to June because Doer said they need more time, but the savings that they booked was still $500,000. I'm just asking if the staff, is that the correct effective date that we're supposed to have of January, or should it be June?
I think you're correct. I think it should be June.
Okay. Should be. Yeah, I believe it should be June 08, but you may want to just double check that. That's what they told us with these numbers. So, and then line 10044. This was the pre 1969. Teacher issue, and Representative Kahn, you and I have been on the Pension Commission, and I've dealt with this for a few years, and I'm a little curious about this one. So,
well, this is an attempt to take a new approach to it. This is an attempt. The language is in the bill, and we'd have to look at the exact. As you well know, Mr. Chairman, particularly since I haven't been on the Pension Commission for several years, the couple of years ago, the pre-69 teachers, was a very complicated issue of which we don't have. We have on our conference committee eight pre-69 teachers who is not here at the moment. He could really explain it to us.
Okay.
And at any rate, this happened to do with how people chose their retiring pension arrangements or how they were chosen for them. And several years ago they came in asking for about $700 million to bring the ones who didn't make out as well as some of the other 369 teachers. And that would have been paid for from TRA fund itself, so it would have been paid for by essentially new ongoing teachers who had nothing to do with the arrangement. That was not agreed on with the Pension Commission. They came in back this year asking for, I believe, $20 million for each of four biennia, over the next four biennia, a total of $80 million to be paid for by a direct appropriation from the general fund. So none of us have, and, you know, this is a sort of somewhat of a sad story, but the problem is there's no, many of the people who have looked at it from the point of view of the Pension Commission understand that there's no legal obligation, the state has no legal obligation to do this. So this is an attempt to get some solution with a what we would call a gratuity, which is an offer as written in the bill. And, you know, I wouldn't want to pretend that it's the best language. It may have to be dealt with. That would put a flat $1,000 one-time payment out for any pre-69, any people in this class of people to accept. And if they accept the $1,000, then that's the end. Okay. Of the state's obligation.
As I say, we can get in further discussion later on. Some of us, Senator Larson and I, are on the Pension Commission, as are you, and I believe Representative Hilty, are you on it as well?
No,
no you're not. But I know that there was a bill from Senator Tomasoni and Representative Hortman. Is that
yes.
Is this
so Representative Hortman was involved in this because she is a member of our commission.
I see.
So, representative of our committee. So Representative Hortman did...
Right.
Did vote for this.
Okay. But the Pension Commission has not, and I don't believe
and
it's
I don't
on tomorrow's
believe,
agenda.
Understanding from speaking to the chair of the Pension Commission, we don't have, Pension Commission has not been assigned a target of $20 million extra to spend on Pension Commission issues. So it's not likely to be heard or passed this year.
Thank you. Okay. Are there other questions that we have of the spreadsheet? Senator Cooley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I guess, you know, I don't know unless my eyes are deceiving me here. I think there were several items that are one-time spending that are not on, on the list that we were given. One of them is the line 1044, the line that you just talked about. But I believe line 684 and 431 look like they're one-time spending as well.
Senator Cooley, I think what the House incorporated their one-time spending in their bill, so it's in their sheet. The Senate, of course, did not put our one-time money with it. We passed it as a separate bill, so I think what was passed out, this is the Senate list of the one-time spending as we passed them, but the House happened to have put theirs in the bill in order to look at the differences. That's why we have it the way it is. But
Yeah, thank you. That's my error, Mr. Chair.
Other questions about the spreadsheets? Okay, well, I think we've gone as far as we can today with what we've got. Now, I know tomorrow night there is a Pensions Commission meeting at 6 o'clock, so that's going to limit what, if anything, we do. Madam Chair, what are your plans?
My suggestion is, first of all, that we switch the chair, not by 24-hour periods, but by meeting, so that the next meeting that we call will be the House will chair, and then the next meeting that the Senate will chair. So you don't have this funny times of deciding when 24 hours are over. I understand that the House, and maybe Seth can correct me if I'm wrong or right, I understand that the House is intending to leave the hours, is not intending to meet past 1 or 2. Each day. Do you know what the Senate schedule intends to be?
Tomorrow we're going in at 11. It was my understanding that the Senate was going to be trying to finish up by 1 so that we need to align the two bodies so that we can have, I think the leadership, at least in the Senate, wanted to have the 24-hour rule. I think we're in an awkward position right now because I don't think it makes any sense to meet tomorrow for the sake of meeting if we don't have the side-by-side, if we don't have anything in hand. So I'm certainly willing to hold off on a second meeting until we actually have something that, we can discuss. So I don't think that it's productive to meet tomorrow without a side-by-side or something else. If you've got a something you wish to talk about, we certainly can do that. But at least for the next meeting, and I'll have to go back to my, talk to my leadership, I'm willing to hold off for a day or two until the side-by-sides are ready, and then have you convene that meeting so we can actually go through that.
Right. So let's assume that they will be ready by Wednesday, and let's assume that we will be having this, that we will be able to have the House and Senate adjourned by, we're going to be meeting, I think, at 9 or so, 9 or 10 each meeting. So let's assume that we can.
Okay. Yeah. Well.
So. Do you think we can assume, and I know we're trying to abide by the 24-hour mm-hmm. rule, but we're just trying to give adequate notice, so that, for example, the 24-hour rule will be that we'll try and call 24 hours in advance, but we'll at least try and give notice, and we may have to have shorter notice than that, particularly as we go on. And so it looks as if we should be able to meet, and I would hope the side-by-sides would be ready at 2 o'clock on Wednesday. Is that reasonable? Or does the staff think that that's reasonable? And if not?
I'm aware, and I've been reminded that our leadership wants us to meet tomorrow at 1. However, I don't know what we're going to talk about until we get the side-by-sides. If we don't have the side-by-sides, I don't think meeting just for the sake of meeting makes any sense. So I'm certainly, and it doesn't look like we're going to have the side-by-sides play tomorrow.
Well, we do have revisor staff in the office, so we could ask them if we're going
to. Okay. Well, could we?
Can you tell us, do we have anything productive to do at 1 o'clock tomorrow, 2 o'clock tomorrow?
But of course, I do want to be sensitive. I'd like to make sure that our staff has the side-by-sides in plenty of time, because they're going to have to be able to go through them so they can highlight the differences. Sometimes it's just a punctuation difference, but they need to point out things to us, and so they need to have the side-by-sides well in advance from when we meet. Ms. Timmons, welcome to the conference committee. You'll need to identify yourself for the record.
Yes, for the record, I'm Michelle Timmons, the revisor of statutes. And Mr. Chairman and members, we certainly can try to have something ready by 2 p.m. on Wednesday. I don't know whether that's realistic, though. We've run into a number of difficulties. One certainly is the different ways in which the House and the Senate have passed their bills this year, and the fact that we are still getting requests from the Senate side to add smaller bills to the side-by-sides. So that sort of moving target issue is one of the things that the staff in the revisor's office are running into. Then we do have a new system that we're working with, and we only did about 2 side-by-sides last year. So the reality is that this budget year is more or less the flagship session with the new side-by-side program. And one of the things that's occurring is that whenever you add a new bill to the side-by-side program, it has to be run all over again. It's not as simple as taking a document that's already prepared and adding to it. So that, and then on top of that, the fact that we have many, many side-by-sides that are being requested all at once, and it's a huge volume right now. So while we will do our best, I can't really promise a definitive date for some of those reasons.
Thank you, Ms. Timmons. We recognize your staff is under a lot of pressure, because a lot of these things have just happened now, and
right.
you've got a lot of work to do in short time, and the demands are heavy. So we appreciate, whatever accommodation you can make, and recognizing that there's a lot of bills out there. So, what we'll do, are there any questions of the revisor? Well, thank you very much. We'll set it, I believe, Representative Kahn, you'd like to meet 2 o'clock on Wednesday. We'll try to provide as much notice as we can. If it just doesn't look like the side-by-side is ready in time, and in time I also would hope that that means the staff has it in time so they can review it before we meet, we'll just not meet then. We'll meet when the side-by-side is ready. But although the leadership does want to adhere to the 24-hour rule, I'll respect the fact that we're not going to meet until we've got something to do, and I'll let Representative Kahn call the next meeting when the side-by-side is ready, and then we'll proceed with rotation as we can, best we can after that. Are there any questions?
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Kahn.
I think we're tentatively intending to meet Wednesday at 2, but or if the side-by-sides are not ready, then at the call of the chair after that.
Right. I don't anticipate we're going to meet before then. So we're
right.
But by us saying 2 o'clock Wednesday, I don't see anywhere that we're going to meet before 2 o'clock Wednesday. So, are there any questions? Is there anybody who wants to bring anything to the attention of the conference committee before we adjourn? Anybody out there? I think we can leave our stuff in the room. Do we know if this is going to be used for anything else? It might be used for something tomorrow. Okay, so members, take your things with you, and at some point I think we'll be able to claim the room as our own, but in the short term I think the House still needs the room. If there's nothing further, meeting adjourned. Thank you.